Mishra recorded. So if the phone rings, whether it is on silent or what, it affects the recording. So you find that nothing is recorded. So you can please switch them off for the next 3 or 4 hours. It will affect our process. Comrade Minister, very, very warm welcome. Wish to welcome you and your delegation. By way of starting, or maybe let me say, I hope you have a copy of this program. In case you don't,
it ends there. I would have thought that is what Mrs. Chisetti Wata was trying to say in terms of institutional memory by Mr. Harry to tell us what happened. That is what we are here to find out, what actually happened.
Okay. Can we get a response to that?
I'm trying to say the question still stands.
What?
Chair, I'm going to try my utmost to deal with this. The fact of the matter is that it was not a non-functioning of the Youth Commission. We had decided at that point in time only to pay over the salaries because they rely that people have to get paid. And we transferred their salaries only, not their operational money, until they were able to supply us with reports. At that point in time, the Commission didn't have a CFO. They had no people managing their funding in the way it should have been, and they had just appointed somebody to assist them to try and get their reports in such a way that they can actually report, which they did at the end of the financial year. The quality of the reports and the certification that they gave us to say that the money will be spent in terms of the PFMA, in terms of what their strategic plan was, that could be questionable. But we then decided to transfer the salaries because in terms of the Act, an institution is not allowed to go into an overdraft. If they go into an overdraft, that's illegal. We're of the opinion that there was an area of non-compliance. I'm still convinced it was not an irregular expenditure. It was non-compliant. They didn't issue us a certificate. All the certificate has to say is that they're going to be spending this money in accordance with their plan and that they are comfortable that things are being done. But holding back the money, we would have forced them to go into an overdraft, and they are not allowed to go into an overdraft in terms of their act. So those were the considerations that were taken into that we took, and the COO at that point in time then agreed to pay over the money in terms of the salary so that they don't go into overdraft. But at that point in time, we had not transferred any funds that relate to the operational business of what the National Youth Commission was doing. It was only for their salaries to make sure that they don't go into overdraft, to allow that the person that they had appointed at that point in time as a CFO to be able to get some reconciliation done in terms of their accounts so that we could have a better oversight and link it to what they said their indicators are.
Okay.
But you are saying this matter was related to the operational issue. 24 million. Was that for a month period or for a 6 month period or for how long?
The 24 million in question is the amount of money that is earmarked by the Treasury for transfer to the National Youth Commission for a full financial year. Yeah.
So, in view of that chairperson, you were waiting for the certificate. Why then did you transfer the whole amount? Why didn't you transfer that portion at the time for them to keep them going until they comply? You are right, compliance. They did not comply at the time, they got the money. Why did you then transfer the full allocation instead of a small amount to keep them going and up until they comply?
Chair, what we did is we transferred the funds in tranches. I'm not sure if it was biannually or quarterly. It was quarterly that the money had to be transferred to them. And we did the transfers on a quarterly basis, and it was in some of those quarters that the compliance certificates were not there. But at the end of the financial year, we had got all the information and we were able to do the final transfer. But there were some of the compliance certificates in some of the quarters that were not on time. and I think it was the one, I'll have to get the AD to correct me, when we had the discussion with the COO at that point in time, was the one that had to be done around September in the financial year. It was not, it was one of the tranches that took place that there was non-compliance.
Chairperson, this explanation does not sit well with me. The allocation for the NYC is 24 million, meaning it is what is due to them for the whole financial year. Now, the question we're asking is that given the situation that they did not have the necessary documentation to prove that they can get all the money. And you're saying to us, you do it in tranches. So it means even at a time when they did not comply, you decided to give them all the money. Wasn't it possible that because they did not comply and submit all the documentation, for you to have given them one quarter's disbursement just to keep them afloat? Do they use 24 million for their personnel and everyday running? It doesn't make sense, Chairperson. It doesn't make sense. And the buck stops with the department on how they react. Thank you.
But quickly, Chair, because
on
I just want
to say,
yeah. And because on the same issue, page 155, it's the same transfer. You are awaiting, according to the AG report here, it said you are awaiting the condonation from the treasurer. What does that mean? Why condone? You just told me very confidently that for you is not an irregular, especially is a non-compliant issue. You why asking for a condonation then?
The reason why we were asking for a condonation was after the AG expressed an opinion that it's an irregular expenditure. Now, in terms of the regulation, if it's irregular expenditure and it wasn't done in contravention with the PFMA, the authority there is the National Treasury. So when we went to the Treasury to get condonation, the Treasury, as the COO had explained earlier, the Treasury then said it's not irregular, it's actually non-compliance with the PFMA. So it became a disagreement between the Treasury and the AG in terms of the name of the, yes, the classification of the expenditure. So as we are standing here, we're still waiting for some kind of condonation. It might be condonation by the accounting officer internally, or the condonation by Treasury. At that point in time, when we were reporting, we were convinced that it was irregular. But after discussion with the Treasury, we then had the opinion that indeed it is non-compliance instead of irregular expenditure. So it was the timing then that we said it's irregular, therefore condonation will be awaited from the National Treasury.
So then your position now as the President is, this is a non-compliance issue. It's not an irregular expenditure. And that, as it may, the last one, favorite, what actually happened to the people who did not follow whatever law then? Be it irregular, be it non-compliant. A one body was responsible for it. It should not have happened. What actually happened to the officials in question?
All right, maybe for the response to that, as far as I'm concerned, we're dealing with a report of the AG, and the AG has said this is regular. So there should be no debate or argument around that. There is an opinion expressed, and that becomes the basis of our forward movement. Now, if National Treasury is also going to express an opinion on an annual report, then let's create the necessary legal mechanism for them to do so. Because if we're going to be debating whether this is regular or not, then what's the point of having this annual report? can't. So I would not want us to have a situation where we debate whether the opinion expressed here is correct or not, unless something formal has been brought to our attention by National Treasury, if it feels so strongly about it. But in the absence of any, irregular expenditure is what is expressed by the Auditor General, and that is the basis on which we are going to act on it. So I don't think it is correct for officials to tell us they disagree with the Auditor General, because that's neither here nor there. Alright? Can you...
But Chairperson, before the answer, I understand the different opinion expressed. I am saying, in view of all that, why then did you ask for a condonation? Because the impression I'm getting is that yes, it was a non-compliant issue, which is a minor issue for me. This is what I get. At the end of the day here, we are saying, according to the AG, this is irregular. You are saying it's non-compliant, but there is this condemnation issue, which you have not talked to me sufficiently.
Maybe let's do this complete, so that I'm being disturbed by something here. Maybe let them talk to earlier question around warm bodies and what has happened to them. But my understanding is that they took the cue of the AG that this is irregular, and then went to National Treasury to ask for condemnation. And then National Treasury told them, nah, this is not it. I think that's where the dispute arose. But what happened to the people who did not act accordingly? I think that was the original question.
Chair, thank you very much. Clearly nothing has happened. But I also would like to just put before the committee that it is not likely that such a disbursement would be made without an instruction that would emanate to the accounting officer to do so. And at the moment, nothing has happened, frankly speaking. The accounting officer at the time who did this, there was no repercussion. He has left, as you know, the presidency. So has the Director General left the presidency. The CFO at the time was somebody else. So the simple answer is, unfortunately, we have to say to you that nothing has happened.
This would be my last. Presidency expected to uphold the constitution, the law of the land. You have people at the highest level in the president breaking the law. Because, I mean, there's no point for me discussing here again whether it's a compliance issue or a very good. The fact of the matter is that it was wrong, it should not have happened, you know, and this is the difficulty I have, that they got away with it. I'm not suggesting that people were, well, allegedly corrupt or something. They broke the law. It's not. That should come with the sanction. The sanction at the end of the day, what actually happened, to make sure that it does not happen again. That's why I'm saying it was a very emotional thing from the gentleman. That if they did not, the commission was going to collapse. I'm saying we had that argument before. But it does not permit people to simply bypass or do irregular things. Chairperson.
All right.
Listen, we're not answered because, and they were pointed. They were pointed that did they need, I understand, Comrade, that you say there was an instruction. But what I'm asking in terms of processes within the department, especially when dealing with compliance, do you disburse all the money even if when people have not complied? Wasn't it possible that some of the money could have been withheld? And I'm saying this at the back of my mind, hearing what Mr. Terry said, that the disbursements were done in tranches. Now, before they even, it was the first tranche, because we've got four quarters, the first tranche, and they are not complying. Why not withhold the next tranche in order for them to force them to comply so that the department itself is not in trouble? You know, it doesn't make sense to me sitting here and hearing, no, no, we gave them their money because even though we knew that they are not complying.
All right. Yeah, I'll come to you, Khush. Let's just deal with this pointed question. We say 24 million is for the whole year. So, and it's being dispersed quarterly. What happened? No. All, whatever we're saying here is being recorded throughout. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. The full amount was dispersed at the end of the financial year. And it is clear that there were some of the certification that had to be produced by the National Youth Commission was not produced. And as I'd indicated, that we in some of the tranches we did hold the money back. But obviously that at the end of the financial year, the challenge that you had was that at that point in time, you were not allowed to let them go into an overdraft. The fact that the Youth Commission carried on spending had created a problem for us, and the breaking of the law, our problem was that they cannot go into an overdraft. If they go into an overdraft, and at that point in time they had also raised an issue with us, the relevance of it could be challenged, but at that point in time they also relied on funds from donors to get their work done, and some of the donors had not delivered on their commitments. And it was a real challenge for the National Youth Commission at that point in time to do everything that they had to do. And it was on that basis that we had taken the decision to pay over the money.
All right. Shilwane, Khoshi, Mangena, and yes, Advocate Malan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask about unauthorized expenditure.
Just a minute. I want to check if there's anyone who's making a follow-up.
Okay.
Before I give over to you. Hoshi, and then Mangena, Advocate, and then Comrade.
Thanks, President. I'm not sure why today you are avoiding me that much. But I wanted to...
It's the hangover of last week.
Oh, thank you. Maybe, Chair, one should deliberately redefine what the definition of irregular expenditure is, because this argument doesn't hold water. It reads as follows: means an expenditure other than unauthorized expenditure incurred in contravention of or that is not according with required of any applicable legislation, including this particular PFMA we are talking about. I don't know what argument they are putting forward to say it's not irregular, it's non-compliance and whatever. It's very clear that it's irregular. Secondly, Chair, Section 38, 1H, it calls for the accounting officer to make sure that, amongst other, she or he put systems that will enable him to run the department. And I guess when in relation to National Youth Commission, it's one of those systems that they were supposed to have put in place to say, you are failure to, obviously we are not going to give you the money. But knowing that they didn't, you know, comply in terms of what they are supposed to do, they kept on giving them money in trenches up until the, you know, the cycle ran completely. I would imagine, I think in this regard, they themselves, they are on the offending part of the law. We cannot even talk about the Youth Commission, because the systems are there to say, in case they fail, don't transfer money. But they keep on transferring. What are the reasons that they use to, you know, to keep on doing this thing? Because they are condoning wrong done by the Youth Commission. Why? Who is this person who has taken this decision? Was it the accounting officer? If it's the accounting officer, Chair, we should stand here. We should just pause here. We want to know what is going to happen to the accounting officer if they haven't done anything. This thing of continuously saying, no, we haven't acted, we are aware, we acknowledge, I think it has reached an alarming level. We can't continuously run and say, no, appreciate, acknowledge. Things are going deep and deep and deep. We will be unable to take them back. Can they then act on this one? If they haven't acted, let them say, give us a period, we'll come back and tell you what we have done in dealing with this particular matter. Thanks, sir.
I just noted down. Mamanya.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm reading from the Revenue and Expenditure Management, that is the Treasury Regulation. The accounting officer of an institution must exercise all reasonable care to prevent and detect unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure and must for this purpose implement effective, efficient and transparent processes of financial and risk management. Chairperson, I was listening to them. They were saying that the donor funders were unable to fund, especially if you don't comply. If you don't tell them that I've got this money, I want to use it this way, they won't find you. But we as government, people don't give us anything, but we still really give them money. Why are we doing that? Because as Honorable Mashian is saying, the first quarter, they would have given them money. But if they brought no papers to the department, they shouldn't have done that. The second quarter, they should have told them that we want the first, and even now, just comply. That's why Treasury said we won't condone this, because really this is not an irregular according to Treasury, but it is a non-compliance matter. That's why they couldn't condone them. Even now, they'll never condone them. Thank you.
All right, Comrade Roy. No, please.
Not on the Youth Commission.
Comrade Malala.
Yes, I think in the report here, it is stated that there have been disciplinary investigations. I think that there has been a candid and frank response from a colleague in the department that nothing has been done. Should we take this to be untrue that there have been investigations? According to our record, in the annual report, it says investigations, and I guess it must be in reference on page 155, in progress. Should we take this to be untrue? Then, secondly, I think National Treasury must tell us their new law that this is not irregular. I mean, the definition is very clear and simple. Can they come in to tell us why do they have a different definition of irregular? Was irregular clearly means non-compliance with the law in simple terms, other than unauthorized expenditure? So what exactly is this opinion? Maybe they can furnish us so that we can see how they interpret laws differently.
Jefferson.
Comrade Roy,
thank you very much. My question is not related to the Youth Commission, but it is on the same page as irregular expenditure, and it may be, I think, what Advocate is referring to. On page 155, at the very bottom, there's a small item. We've all been talking about the millions, but let's not also forget the small item of 170,000. That, can you please? What? 187. Yeah, that's what I said. That very, very teeny weeny little amount. What is that, and what is that about? And I think that may be what the Advocate was referring to about investigation.
All right.
Quick one, Chair. The annual report of the National Youth Commission. I got my head crazy. I have not found it. Do you find that it? Did you find Nelly have it? I know a report of the National Youth Commission. Do you have it? If you don't, how does that relate to what we are talking? You have people here who who are not providing you with relevant documentation. You don't have their financial annual report. Please assist us. We just want to bring this thing to closure. And I'm afraid, Chairperson, if we had this, like you say, direct answers, we should not have opened up this file. You made it. But talk to that as well. The information I have, they have not submitted their annual report today. What does that say to you in relation to the transfer of funds as well? Not to be through what we are talking about here.
And lastly, yes,
Michelle. I'm sorry, Chairperson, to interject. I wanted to correct something which was said by Advocate Malale around the report. This is not a report of the National Treasurer. If we need any opinion on what is being said here, can we direct it to the AG, because it is the AG's report. Thank you.
All right. Maybe let's talk to the issues. I said that to avoid any undue confusion, we're working on the basis of the report of the AG. And the report of the AG is an irregular expenditure. That's how I want to take it. If National Treasury has an issue with that finding, they should sort it out with the Auditor General. They should then link it up with us in Parliament. But we can't pick it up in the course of discussion that there is a disagreement. But anyway, whether it's non-compliance or irregular factors, 24 million was transferred, not in line with the expected policies and procedures. All right, may I come back to you on the issues that have thus far been raised?
Thank you, Chair. The 187 relates to irregular expenditure that was picked up by within the department, within the presidency, relating to supply chain management processes that were not followed by units within the presidency.
So where are we? It says investigations. Where are we? Are we still investigating, or what has happened?
Okay. What has happened is we wrote letters from the CFO's office. We wrote letters to the units that have transgressed, and we asked them to explain whether what they did was done in the interest of the state, and whether that will not be repeated, and what measures are they putting in place to ensure that it doesn't occur again. The responses that we got was mainly things like it was an emergency situation, we had to buy stuff, there are very little amounts like catering, we had to do certain things immediately, therefore we could not go through the three quotation process, the liaison with supply chain management.
So this 187,000 is made up of little ticks and bits here and there, up to...
Let me answer. I'd actually asked for the file so that I could look at it. What was it made of? 90% of it is, in fact, on an urgent basis, a requirement for a caterer to cater for a particular function. A small percentage of it, in one instance, was for a printing order that was given without due three quotes and it wasn't a large sum. I'd asked the CFO to provide me with that so that both her and I could be sure that it was non-compliance and not irregular. And we did go through this entire list that she provided to me, both of us together. Nevertheless, I just thought the reason for the letters to the various departments, even at a later date, was that irrespective of whatever emergency there is, they can still find the time to go through the proper procedures. And if I might just say that that is exactly what's happening now. So the 187, yes. One of the reasons for an investigation is that we would like the unit heads who are ultimately responsible for their various budgets to give the explanation and not for us to guess what those explanations are. The department in the main, or the area in the main that had incurred these costs was the protocol area in the main. I mean, I can just be quite frank about that. And if I may, just on the second matter, I think that we acknowledge that the 24,333 million that was transferred to the National Youth Commission was done so without due cognizance of the issues that they needed to comply with. We're unfortunately not in a position, and truthfully so, to say how it came about that on that day that each of the tranches was made, somebody said you must go and do it now or else. And we take the point very, very sincerely and say that it is a difficulty that is addressed now in the new act for the NYDA, very clearly, that the board of the NYDA will then be held responsible for any expenditure that is irregular or non-compliant. But the National Youth Commission didn't have that particular mechanism in place. So for the presidency, all we can say is that, you know, one would hope that the kind of pressure you talk about would never occur again. That the PFMA is extremely clear. Yes, indeed, there was an infringement. And yes, indeed, we take the point that that infringement ought not to have happened. But I also think that we can't avoid the fact of what Mr. Terry has said, that at the end of the financial year, finally, all the compliance certificates were received. But, sir, I also have to say with a deep regret that we don't have the annual report of the National Youth Commission. So we have to be, there's no way we can color this with any color. It is exactly the truth as it is.
But are we ever going to have it? Okay, maybe that can be part of the political response. Because as you were saying, it comes back to this transfer. You have a group of irresponsible people that don't fulfill their legal obligations, and yet they're getting paid every month to sit, and I don't know what it is that was being done. Just a minute. The interventions were all responded to. Just trying to check. All right. I want us to give children to move to unauthorized expenditure. But let me give these two comrades, and then children should talk.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. There is something that seems not to be clear here. Page 155. The both 2007 and 8 and 2008 and 9. There is an amount of 2.6 million, which neither of all the officials spoke about it, which is recurred from the, you know, the previous year.
Which table?
2.26.1.
Okay.
On top it says opening balance, because it came from, you know, the previous financial year.
Oh, okay.
And then it again appeared on the analysis of the awaiting condemnation.
Condemnation.
Yeah. So can they talk to it?
Condemnation, not condemnation.
Okay, now. No.
Chairperson, I'm on transfer payments because we're dealing with transfer payments. But before that, I think the CFO will have an answer for me on my earlier question on the reconciliation of the legal fees, if she has, because that wasn't responded to. But just to go to transfer payments, also on page 117, we see 3 million and 1 million paid to Isikodlo Trust and South African Chapter on African Renaissance, respectively. Now, we were told by the office of the AG that they have private auditors. What we'd like to know is the presidency satisfied that these amounts were used for what the original MOU stated? Are these amounts still being paid over? Because the one was paid, it was the president's It was championed by the spouse of the president for women's development issues in rural and semi-rural areas. Is this going to continue by the spouses, and how much is going to be allocated? And we just have some information on that.
All right, can we respond to that? And then
thank you, Chair. The question on the reconciliation of the legal fees for the president, we don't have the reconciliation of the total expenditure. Yes. Okay. And then the transfers to Isigodlo Trust on the three million, we finished transferring last year. Am I right? I'm talking. Yeah, it was last year when we stopped transferring. And the SACA has also stopped. We're not going to transfer. And we are satisfied that through the MOU, we governed the transfer payments through the MOU. We were satisfied that they used the money for the intended purposes. Except to say that on SACA, there was a qualification on the amount of, I can't remember the exact amount, but they had a qualification and we had to make a follow-up. We wrote them a letter to say, how are they going to recover the money that was overpaid? There was an excess payment made to certain individuals in SACA. So they came back to us and said the recovery process, they put through a recovery process to deal with the overpayment for those people. That was the only qualification that happened.
All right. The lady sitting to the left of Anamaja, please, we have requested that cellular phones should be off because they affect our recording process. Right. The 2.6, although if we had time, it would be interesting to find out why were these transfer payments stopped to the two entities that he had asked about. But let's talk to the 2.6. I'm sure if this is second, you can, well, maybe that's more of a policy decision.
The 2.6 million, I'm not sure whether I'm not out of order if I say, can I explain the breakdown at the later stage?
If we have a later stage, let's wait and see before we end. Can we go to Kombe Chirwa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to speak to one issue. Is the unauthorized expenditure that is on page 122 of the annual report. There's an amount of 14.5 million which incurred as a result of overspending on the main vault and two main divisions within the vault. Can we get the explanation on this overspending?
Thank you very much, Chair. And the CFO will add if I leave anything out. The National Award Ceremony, which was supposed to be held in the financial year ending 2009, was shifted to May, from May 2009 to March, and therefore an expenditure was incurred in a financial year for which it was not intended, and that amount was 3.761 million. There was also costs relating to the mediation in Zimbabwe by former President Mbeki, amounting to 5.270, which had not been adequately budgeted for because it related to him being appointed as a facilitator. Then, in addition to that, there are costs relating to the additional minister in the presidency and his support staff, and that relates to the appointment of Minister Motlanthe when he was appointed as a minister. And then, of course, there was cost relating to unavoidable legal fees of five million rand, approximately. And that's what caused us to have
just a minute, on which page are we, Chilwane?
equal to 4 months pensionable salary for every 5 years of service, or a pro rata part of the 5 years service, 5 year period.
Right, Shula?
Chair, it's just a question of a clarity, second question on the respond on the National Awards ceremony, because they were moved from May 2009 to March due to election. I just wanted to check with the president that even if they were moved, there was no allocation of, there was no budget allocated for that particular ceremony that then it could affect to, so that the president will have an unauthorized expenditure on that note.
Not in that particular financial year.
Right.
Thank you, Chair. My second question, I don't know, maybe if members would also like to follow up.
I wanted to continue.
Okay. Thank you. On page 148 of the annual report, note 9.2 specifies that motivation has been submitted and a review is pending. What are the details and what is the status quo as we speak now? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Then we are referring to the motivation supplied to the National Treasury for the reasons why we overspent by 14.5 million on the vote.
Yeah, and where are we now? I mean, this was as in September last year.
The process, I don't know it very well, but I understand that once we notify Treasury, then after the SCOPA hearing, or somewhere there, I'm not sure really, Treasury should assist us, whether there will be condonation by Parliament or what the process would be to just take it out of our...
That's not good enough. Should have familiarized yourself with the process. Might as well be that National Treasury is waiting for you to give them a call so they can say this is the process. I mean, you don't just send a letter and then turn your back and focus on other things. Especially with an unauthorized expenditure, because you want it cleared from your books. So it's either they say you pay for it yourself, or they say must be authorized by Parliament here. But I'm just saying, in terms of those details around process, you should be the person who should know those details. We're able to follow it up. Shula?
Okay, maybe on that note, probably the treasurer could be in a position to say, I'm not saying on behalf of president, but probably I think they have something to say about the status quo of the situation that
we're
asking about. Thank you. Last question.
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying I'll condone your question, though, but the president should be the one telling us where the process is, and not us asking Treasury on their behalf here in the hearing.
Apologies, but we are waiting for a response from National Treasury. Basically, that's where we are.
Well, you might be waiting for Godot if you don't follow up. No, it's fine. Let's hear from National Treasury.
Can we just wait for Jillian? She just stepped out. She will respond when she comes in.
Does she have the answer? She's supposed to.
I think she will have the answer.
Chairperson, I'm probably now sticking out my neck here, but I mean, in general, the PMA defines what unauthorized expenditure is, and then it just says that that money cannot become a charge against the revenue fund except if Parliament makes available that money. So that's what usually happens if your committee may decide
All right.
that they. It can be condoned by Parliament. In that case, we can take it into a finance act. Top bill.
Okay. No, well, we don't like condoning unauthorized expenditure. But we're waiting for you. Do you have a response? Where are we with the 14 million request for condonation from the president?
As far as we know, we have received the letter from the presidency, and we're still looking at that.
When did you receive the letter?
It was sometime this year, I think in January, February.
So are you saying that what we have in page 148 is incorrect? But at the time of the publication of this report, they had already sent a letter to you.
I'm not sure about the exact date, Mr. Chair. I'm not pretty sure. But we sent it after the closing of the year because we realized that we overspent. And therefore, we had to notify Treasury immediately. We wrote a letter just after the closure of the year, somewhere between April and May 2009.
But she's saying they only received it this year.
No, maybe she's confusing letters because that one was the one that we sent in there.
No, I was very clear in my question in relation to... All right. No, that's fine. They don't have an answer in terms of... So you need to follow up with National Treasury in terms of... Because we don't want... Because we're just a few weeks to the end of the financial year and we still have this motivation submitted pending review. It would mean that we have not made any... Right. The last focus area, Pretoria.
See, my question really has been covered, but I will want to ask a follow-up question on the response to the special gratuity payment. I need to know who received that payment and what the amount was. And thirdly, whether that proclamation was a general proclamation which would apply in future as well, or whether it only applied at the end of the previous term. Because if it were to apply generally also now, it would then mean that all ministers like Minister Chobani would have to, the departments would have to budget for the possibility that they might leave mid-term and incur unauthorized expenditure as well. So does the department have a contingent liability in a sense that some of their ministers might also move before the end of the term?
Yes, can I get a response to that? Just bring the mic closer to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The previous DP got a payment.
Previous DP.
Mrs. Nook. Always angry with me.
The previous deputy
president. Yes.
So that we understand from the side. Yeah.
The previous deputy president, Mrs. Mlambo Nuka, and then the previous minister and the president, Mr. Pahat.
Dr. Pahat.
Yes.
Those two.
Yes.
All right. Then the second part of your question, is this going to apply continuously or is it just a special gazette?
I think the gazette is in terms of section 6.1 of the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers Act.
Yeah.
It determines that the total remuneration packages of the positions of office bearers with effect from 1st of April 2008. So it says with effect from 1st of April 2008.
Okay. So it's going to be...
It's going...
To be continued. All right. You want to make some additions? Before we...
Thank you, Chair. I think what is critical to raise... In the expenditure that has incurred for unauthorized expenditure. All these expenditures occurred after the adjustments budget process. If the report was released before the adjustments process,
there would not have been an over expenditure because we would have been able to get additional funds to cover those costs. All these actions happened with this irregular or unauthorized expenditure happened after the adjustments process had been closed already and processes had occurred.
Doriel? The only outstanding reply is the actual amount.
The actual amount?
It was around, I need to be exact, but it was around 1 million for both of them. Each one of them. I must get the details, Chairperson, if you can allow me to.
All right. Can we bring this to a close, Honourable Steele?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to look at the totality of the overspending, unauthorized claims, losses, etc., all of which is reflected on page 151 in the bank overdraft of 43 million rand. That's paragraph 16 of page 151. And I'd like some assurance from the Presidency that bank overdraft is being managed, reduced. If they can just give us some details on that.
Chairperson, the bank overdraft has been reduced. We're actually expecting some 13 million from the National Treasury, 13.6 million from the National Treasury, which was erroneously taken from our bank account at the end of the financial year, 8-9, which also increased our overdraft on the bank account. So we've got confirmation that indeed will come in and it will enhance our balance at the bank.
So it's been reduced to what now, Chair?
About the current, because I can talk about the current balance now. It's on a positive. It's on a positive balance. We won't have an overdraft again.
Yes. Right. Thank you very much, Comrade Chair of the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Is there anything from your side, seeing that you're here with us?
No, thank you, Chairperson. No, Chair, there's nothing from our side, but I think that it was interesting to listen and on the difficult issues raised. I'm sure we could, as committee members, sometimes talk amongst ourselves, not necessarily. I wouldn't like to comment.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you very much. Comrade Minister, I'm sure you have had the plan. I will indeed give you an opportunity if there are issues that from your side you would want to deal with. But I'm sure that the issues around lack of continuity, not only in the President, but I want to take it beyond. It's an issue of concern. I don't know how many acting DGs we've met here. I don't think there was one permanent so far this year. Oh, except social development. The rest? And labor.
Okay.
All right. There are so many acting. It's difficult to remember those who are permanent. Lack of continuity. And this issue around consequences for transgression, this classification of minor and major, I think it allows people to get away with murder, so to speak. And the issue around the National Youth Commission, because you recall, if you saw it in the media, the Gender Commission, they promised us that by the end of this month their report will be tabled. We should have had a hearing with them some time ago. The Youth Commission were aware, if I'm right, auditors, that it's a disclaimer. connected to slavery. Okay? Yeah. So you're giving money to people who show no sense of responsibility towards that money. And we are here talking about an entity that is not reported to Parliament. And, Comrade Minister, it appears that from your office, unless if I've missed it, there is no Section 65 letter that explains to Parliament why the submission has not been made and by when aid is going to be made. And that's a very, very serious omission, because it's a legal requirement. In terms of the PFMA, there are time frames within which reports must be tabled to Parliament. In the absence of which, there must be an explanation. It appears we have none. And we are now at the end of another financial year. We don't know whether from April there will be, you know, a sense of financial. So we would want to talk to that one. And for my own interest, the SACA transfers, I mean, government is still committed to playing a very, very decisive role in Africa. But by stopping this transfer, it's like you're not educating the South African public about the importance of those activities. So you then have these xenophobic attacks because people think we're aliens in our country, when they actually suppose they were brothers and sisters that we must coexist with. I think it's self-defeating. I'm not sure. But yeah, let me hand over to you, Congressman. Yeah, if I may just sneak in something. I understand that your stress plan for 2009-2010 was actually a, what do they call it, a cut and paste of the 2008-2009 strat plan. It's not my field or our field, but it's going to come to us, or it's going to catch up with us going forward. But anyway, let me leave it to you. You probably took notes and there are issues you may want to report.
No, thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. Let me start by appreciating the manner in which the committee has been dealing with issues which relate to the annual report, particularly on issues which have been identified by the AG as a matter of concern or issues which have been identified as serious lapses in the system. Secondly, maybe to there are matters of a general point which you raised, Chairperson, which I'm not sure if I'm qualified to tackle or to deal with, like the issue of acting accounting officers. But what I could say is that in our discussion with the DPSA, there is a process which is beginning to address that. Hopefully, it will be able to address that process on a permanent basis. That is the tenure of accounting officers in national and provincial departments. On the issue of the National Youth Commission, I can't recall now that you are raising it, Chairperson, I think with the matter which we are going to follow up and come back to you with regard to the annual report and as to why we're not able to submit the necessary letters which are required by law. We should be able to come back to you quite soon. I'm not sure if we should be able to do it in the next 2 weeks or 14 days to come back to you on that. And
we usually have 7 days.
Oh, no, it's fine. No problem. No problem. With regard to With regard to the steps taken to deal with unauthorized expenditure, I think obviously, as you'd know, that quite a number of departments will fall foul of that. And within the general context of dealing with the compliance in the public administration and including how funds are being managed. We hope that maybe beginning the next financial year, we need to reduce that almost to a zero level. Because in most cases, as we see, is that people basically just didn't follow the procedures which are laid down. There are always remedies as to what is it that you need to do in case you don't have authorization to do particular things, but it will be better to avoid it completely. Unless this is a situation of extreme urgency and a matter of national emergency. But the matter which I think needs to be dealt with within the public administration in general, so that at least if we could be able to avoid those areas, it may actually reduce even the time we take sitting in this committee trying to explain small transgressions which could have been avoided completely. With regard to the transfer to SACA, I wouldn't know now, but let me check as to what the actual state of affairs is and what are the issues around that, and probably in the context of the 7-day response, we could include that in our response so that at least you get an explanation as to what is happening in that area. With the issue of cut and paste, obviously it's one of the issues we're dealing with in administration. In fact, it may not only be us, almost everybody cut and paste. and you see, part of the difficulties which you'd find, which is an issue which we're discussing with Treasury, not for us as a presidency, as a department, the system's problem, is that you would, if I can give an example, you would require a 5-year strategic plan every year. So every year we table a 5-year strategic plan. And that strategic plan actually includes years which have been reported on last year. So there's a bit of inefficiency in the manner in which we're dealing with what we're supposed to deal with, because and in most cases it will be surprising if a strategic plan, which is a 5-year one, if 90% of it is not the same for the past 3 years. But beyond that, there is also a lot of cut and paste which happens when people are under pressure. But those are issues which need to be dealt with within the context of the reform of the things which we are dealing with, and the amount of reports and the format of those reports which will be dealt with. So I'll check also Tepes and the issue of race and the cut and paste issue, and to see what effect does it have in the operations and what led to it. And I think it's a matter which I think will take forward. Nevertheless, Chairperson, I would like to appreciate the opportunity to having been here. In fact, somebody was saying the presidency has never been to Skopje. It may be the first time, and I think they say it's the first time, and maybe the last time. That part I'm not sure, but but I think would appreciate the assistance which you give. We view your interventions as your attempt to assist us in administration to correct some of the things which you might not see, or some of the things which might not happen the way they're supposed to, and that we should be able to improve our systems. So we view it in that context, and that is why we'll try to comply in responding to the issues which have been raised and correct those issues which we think are a problem, or not only for yourself but also for us too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Minister, and to the officials. Because an official. So, thank you very much. I'm sure sure that the issues that were raised by members you have noted. We will report to Parliament on the annual report of the Presidency with the issues identified and also our own input in terms of how some of these areas can or should be attended to. I'm sure that we will not see the Presidency here again, but we also are looking forward. We've not yet brainstormed it in the committee, but there's a general concern about leadership of departments, and understand that the DG, the Presidency, chairs this forum of DGs. I'm sure COVID Minister himself and the chair might want to have some engagement, because unless leadership is checked up, we're not going to get very far. Even some of the issues around continuity that we spoke to might be issues that we want to talk to. The issues around DORA, all departments that are making transfers, all of them may need to have an imbibo. They will brainstormed around that in management. All the departments that are having DORA may need to sit down with them, because we can't be giving out money and there is no proper accountability for that money. It cannot be. So, but anyway, thanks very, very much. We very much appreciate the time that we've had. Comrades, just 2 minutes when our guests leave, I just want to check. Otherwise, I'm sure that the letters